Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our compassionate God and Savior. Amen. Cultivating Christ's community through courageous discipleship and compassionate action. Our congregation's guiding statements. And this week we're exploring the third part of the statement, compassionate action. As Christians, God calls us to do acts of compassion for others. And we'll see that compassion action is intricately connected to courageous discipleship and the cultivation of Christ's community here at St. John Lutheran Church. But to talk about compassion, we first have to begin with God. For we have a compassionate God. To be compassionate is to have pity for or feel sympathy for someone. It's to be moved in one's inner being toward action for another. To exhibit graciousness or mercy towards someone. And the Bible has a whole family of words that can either be translated as or are related to the term compassion. Scripture is not shy about proclaiming the compassionate heart of our God. Just take the Psalms for example. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And as a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. God is certainly a compassionate God. In these examples, we hear the psalmist both confessing God's compassion, but also appealing to God's compassion. God's people both praise the compassion of God, but are also bold enough to appeal to it. For throughout the Old Testament, God had time and time again revealed his love, his compassion to his people. He did so through his promises, his covenants, that he would save his people from the destruction caused by their sin, death, and the devil. And time again, God mercifully gave promises to his people, to people who proved to be unfaithful to God. But God always remained faithful to his promises. And God, time and time again, compassionately acted for the sake of his people. He graciously redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt and gave them the promised land. God repeatedly delivered the Israelites from their enemies. He mercifully relented when punishing his people, and he lovingly forgave his people of their idolatry, unfaithfulness, and sin. And all along, throughout Israel's history, God continually reminded them of his promise to send them a Savior, the Messiah, who would forever rescue them from sin, death, and Satan. The Israelites had received God's compassion, and they praised him for his compassionate promises, and they appeal to it when in distress. Indeed, God is a compassionate God. And God's compassion was revealed all the more in the life of his Son, Jesus. For Jesus repeatedly exercised compassion by healing people of their illnesses, patiently teaching his disciples, and forgiving people of their sins. Jesus told a leper that he was willing to heal him. Jesus welcomed the mothers who brought their children to him. He mercifully forgave the sinful woman. He forgave the sins of a crippled man and healed him of his infirmity. Time and time again, Jesus acted compassionately toward people. Even as he was crucified, our Lord pleaded with his compassionate Father to forgive those who didn't know what they were doing. Indeed, we have a compassionate Savior. And even our gospel reading for today, the transfiguration of our Lord, hints at Jesus' ultimate compassionate act. As he was transfigured, Moses and Elijah spoke with Christ about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This departure is a reference to Jesus' death that he would soon accomplish. Jesus would intentionally make his way to Jerusalem in order that he might be crucified, in order that he might compassionately take away the sins of the world through his death on the cross. The compassion of God is no more clear than in the death of the Son of God. The scorn, shame, suffering, the forsakenness by the Father, the beaten and mangled body of our Lord upon the cross, there is the compassion of God. The cross reveals the epitome of human sin, of our sin, but it simultaneously reveals the love, mercy, grace, and compassion of God. The two collide at the cross, and the Son of God dies. But death could not contain Christ. Christ victoriously broke through the shackles of sin, death, and the grave, and as our victorious Lord, he continues to shower his compassion upon us through the work of his Holy Spirit. The compassion exhibited on the cross continues to be given to God's people through the church's word and sacrament ministry. The compassion given to us through the cross is now given in order that we, as God's people, might share this compassion with one another and the world around us. And this is the thrust of our text from 1 John chapter 3, which we've applied to the third part of our guiding statements. By this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Our love for one another, our compassion for each other, begins with the cross. It begins with Christ's love for us. For it's at the cross where we see clearly that our God is a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. At the cross, our righteous God is compassionate to us sinners, forgiving us of our sins through the blood of his perfect Son. On the cross, our God is compassionate to our sufferings of body and soul, for our God suffers with us through his suffering Son. At the cross, our God is compassionate to us, redeeming us, claiming us back from the clutches of sin, death, and Satan. On the cross, our God is compassionate by graciously granting us eternal life, promising us life in the new creation. And through the cross, our God is compassionate to us by giving us his Son, giving us life through the Holy Spirit, restoring our relationship with the Father. Indeed, our God is compassionate. He shows us compassion. He gives us compassion. He is compassion. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We are to be compassionate because our God is compassionate. We bear the fruit of good works only because we are connected to the true vine, Jesus. The compassion that God commands us to live out, then, is shaped by the compassion poured out on the cross. Compassion action, then, does not begin with us. It begins with God and the multitude of compassion actions he's done for us. And so, having received the unlimited compassion of God, our first step in doing compassion acts does not begin with us doing something compassionate. It begins with learning to be a community who are the recipients of God's compassion actions for us. We must first learn what it means to be a community who receives time and time again God's compassion. We must learn to be a community who is formed by God's compassion. For Christ died for you. Christ loves you. Christ cares for you. Christ is redeeming you. Christ is forgiving you. Christ is coming back for you. Christ is forming you into his likeness. Christ has given you the Holy Spirit. Christ has connected you to the Father. Christ has given you your identity. And Christ has given purpose and meaning to your life. Christ is compassionately for you. So as God's people, as those who have received God's tender mercy and unconditional compassion, we then move toward fulfilling our vocations with lives full of compassion. We receive God's compassion, learn what it means to be recipients of that compassion, and go out into our congregation, our families, relationships, jobs, schools, neighborhoods, the world, dispensing the compassion that we have received. By cultivating Christ's community here at St. John, we are equipped to courageously follow Christ and then do compassionate actions in Christ's name. When we are recipients of God's compassion, God is drawing us into His story, the story where He, time and time again, displayed compassion upon the people of Israel and through His Son, Jesus. Therefore, when we enact compassion upon others, or when we receive compassion from our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are once again drawn into God's story of compassion. And there are lots of examples of compassion and action that I could expand upon. And really, through the working of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the creative freedom that we have in Christ, in our own individual skills, talents, and resources, compassionate actions are truly limitless. Our bearing good fruit, flowing from Christ the true vine, can take on all sorts of shapes and sizes. God is at work through our good works, caring for, loving, and redeeming this creation. The possibilities are exciting and are living out the adventure of the Christian life. And here in our congregation, we have the opportunity to exhibit compassion action through many opportunities and specifically through several care ministries. Ministries like Voice of Care, Grief Share, Divorce Care, and Stephen Ministry. These ministries specifically seek to give God's compassion to those in need. And these ministries have information tables out in the commons today, and I encourage you to check them out after church to find ways to either volunteer or to receive the compassionate care these ministries offer. And so through these care ministries and any number of other countless opportunities, we at St. John have many occasions to exercise compassionate action, to share the compassion that we have received from God with our faith community, with one another, in the world around us. God's compassion action is present here at St. John. And so again, I could expand on any number of compassion action possibilities. But what perhaps one area of compassionate action, one area of cultivating Christ's community that often requires courage, is to simply ask for help, to seek the compassion of others. It can be hard to ask for help. There's a vulnerability to asking for help. There is a risk in asking for help. But as finite human creatures, we cannot do it all on our own. Even before the fall into sin, God created Adam and Eve with limits. It is not good for man to be alone. God did not create us to be gods. He created us to be human creatures, in community with God and with one another. And this remains true all the more so after our fall into sin. We need the help of others. We need community. We need the skills, talents, and resources of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how God has ordered human life. This is how God has ordered the church, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, made up of many members, but one body, and we need one another. For even our Lord, as He walked upon this earth, received compassionate care from others. Cultivating Christ's community through courageous discipleship and compassionate action. As God's people gathered here in this congregation, we cultivate Christ's community by gathering around God's compassion found in His Word and in the sacraments. For Christ has compassionately made us His disciples through His Word and sacraments. And having received this compassion, we go forth living as the recipient community of God's compassion and sharing it with others. And by doing acts of compassion, we are in turn living courageously as Christ's disciples. And we're actively cultivating Christ's community as the body of Christ. Each part of the guiding statement is intimately connected to the others. And we at St. John continue to receive God's gracious compassion. And we have the awesome opportunity to both share that compassion with others and receive that compassion from our sisters and brothers in Christ. By this, we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Indeed, we have a compassionate God. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.